So in order for Shah Rukh's character to come out brilliantly in Swadesh, I also have to be equally convincing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know him as Vinod from Swadesh.
It's okay.
Or Jawaharlal Nehru from Gangubai.
Now, Nehru is somebody I admire tremendously. So, there was an occasion to play Nehru. Two, it was a Bhansali film.
But today's guest has an identity that goes beyond borders.
I have the versatility to break and do many other roles.
But is it also because in theatre, I did very little theatre, but I felt like it was so important for you to make sure that the audience is connected with you every time you're on stage, every time it's your dialogue.
From being a theatre performer to a global cinematic artist.
The biggest budget film in the world. I've worked with the four-time Oscar winners. I've worked with the greatest directors. You have to have the gumption to challenge yourself every day. I've always maintained that there are two ways to tempt an actor. Either you tempt me with the money or you tempt me with the role.
I want to understand your Bollywood journey now. I think it's very interesting because as a millennial and Gen Z, the main characters that we've seen you in and we remember you as very prominently, the Swadesh and Made in Heaven, as well as a cameo that you had in Gangubai. And you have some non-commercial releases as well. So why is it or how is it that you end up choosing the projects that you want to do?
I've always maintained that there are two ways to tempt an actor. Either you tempt me with the money or you tempt me with the role. If you have neither, makes no sense doing that role.
Well, your entire journey, because even you were a part of behind the scenes of Kama Sutra as well. Very, let's say, controversial film. And even the role that you played, the entire episode, in fact, and Made in Heaven, was about everything which is controversial in our society. So is this something, is it a choice that you make? Is it that that's how people see you today? And that's the reason why the actors or the casting directors, they want to see you in those roles and that's why they do it? Is it a conscious choice that you do? Like, we just want to understand what is the entire bandwidth that goes behind this?
So there are many factors. One is, yes, you do get typecast sometimes. The person who broke that very nicely was Vimal Roy with Balraj Sahni. You know, Balraj Sahni always played these Thakur and Raja, Maharaja type of roles and everything, the superstar and very rich kind of people. And then in Do Bigha Zameen, he gave him a rickshaw puller's role. Only he could pull it off and only they could pull it off, the two of them. Otherwise, you get typecast very easily. So, ye to upmarket rich wala type ka lagta hai, ye to ye gaon wala lagta hai, ye vaisa wala lagta hai, like that. Very few people can break out of those. I have the versatility to break and do many other roles.
Can you take us through your journey? How did you come from Delhi to Bollywood, almost 4.5 decades?
Yeah, we'll come to Bollywood in a bit. But this sobriquet called Bollywood, it's quite a funny one. But anyway. It's very funny because I knew since I was 6 years old that I was going to be an actor. I'm the son of a fighter pilot. Either I was going to be a fighter pilot or an actor, or both, ideally. But at the age of 6, I knew I was going to be an actor. Didn't know much about it, except in school. And then I started studying economics in Delhi. And in my second year, I failed. The whole class failed. So now what to do? You know, everything is taken away. We had very, very minimal pocket money at that time, pocket allowance. I used to have a scooter, which was confiscated. A dad scooter, of course, but which was confiscated. Pocket money was withdrawn because we all failed. There were 42 of us in class, all 42 failed. There was a Delhi University Teachers Association strike. So anyway. To cut a long story short, I said, okay, let me go learn German. So I went to the Max Müller in Delhi. So I have two uncles who lived in Vienna, and I said, I should learn German. So I went to the Max Müller, and they said, there's no place. Come back in 6 months. So I went to the Allianz, and they said, we have one place. And if you, I said, keep the place. I said, you give 300 rupees just now for the semester. So I said, okay, I'll go run. So I ran home. Picked up the money and I said, because it was for studying, I was allowed the money. So I came and gave the money here at the Alliance, and they said, we have a scheme whereby if you stand first in your class, then your next semester is free. So I said, okay. I studied three, and the next five semesters were free for me. So, you know, I paid for one semester, I got a BA degree.
Can you still speak German the same way?
Ich kann ein bisschen.
Ah, das ist sehr gut.
Ja? Ich mir verstanden machen.
Ah, ja, ich auch. Mein Deutsch ist schlecht.
Nice, we better French.
Ah.
So.
So, in the first year, first semester itself, I saw a notice there saying we are starting a new theater group, so anybody who's interested, come and join. So, I joined and I got the lead part. So, one very famous name in today's film world over here was doing his first play. And another known name was my co-actor. So we were all part of a theater group called Chingari. And we started doing theater. And while I was doing theater, I did my, of course, I did my MA. I did my BA in French. I repeated my year and did my BA in economics as well. And then the man who started the theater group, Professor Madhavan, was teaching at JNU. So he says, why don't you apply for an MA degree? You know, since you've got a BA in French in any case, or the equivalent of it. We had a 3-year certificate, which was equivalent of a BA at that time. I said, okay. And I applied for it. I got it. And then the professor I got said, we have a choice. You can do either literature or you can do translation. And I said, I'd do translation. And he said, so one of the courses that were being taught with the translation was French cinema. So guy says, you want to do French cinema and translation? I said, perfect, nothing like it, you know. So I did a whole MA in French translation and cinema from JNU. At which point in time, I was also working with the National Cultural Festival in Delhi, working with traditional artists and creating shows with them, performing artists from all across the country, weavers, craftsmen, classical musicians and dancers. So you name it, I have worked with them. That's why I wear khadi, because I was working with weavers. So I stopped wearing trousers and shirts and jeans and t-shirts and all. And so I was working in all these arts. And then I was the last to come here among all our batches. All the others came in the 90s, 91, 92. I came around 98. And was 6-7 years later. And I just felt, you know, in Delhi that you couldn't live in Delhi and be an actor at that time. You could do theatre, did a lot of theatre in Delhi, but after that it became a bit complicated. Also did theatre with National Theatre in France and, you know, everything. So, and then finished, of course, in the meanwhile, I did a doctorate in international cultural management from UNESCO in Paris and the University of Burgundy. So a lot of things happened. And then I shifted to Bombay. And here I am.
So I want to understand, you said you did theater in Delhi, right? So what is the basic difference between a theater actor and a Hindi film industry actor? Or a film industry actor, let's say that.
So I think the French say it very nicely. They call it a comédien in for a theater actor, and an actor for a French actor, for a film cinema actor. The basic difference is what any actor should understand, is the fact that film is a director's medium. Entirely. Okay? Entirely a director's medium. We become famous in film because we are the only animate object among the 55 other elements that go into making of a film. You should know it as a journalist, you know. So I can change anything I like with my sound, with my costume, with my design, with my edit, with my post. Nowadays, we have so many things in post. You can do anything. You know, you can even change the lights and colors and sometimes even matte in different backgrounds.
Absolutely.
Right? You can do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, we shot in Cheops. You could be shooting in Munich. Yeah, you know, how does it make a difference? In post, we can do that. So it's entirely a director's medium. An actor in cinema is supposed to be just standing in front of camera and doing what the director says. You're putty in his hands. If he says, just walk from here to here, just do that. You don't have to emote, act, or do anything. You just naturally become the center of attraction because everything is centered towards you, mm-hmm. towards making you look good, yeah. Making you sound good, making you, you know, placed in a good position. Yeah. A theatre actor is totally different. Mm-hmm. Theatre is entirely an actor's medium. Because mm-hmm. you can rehearse for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 months. After that, there is sweet nothing a director can do except to switch off all the lights if he doesn't like the show. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because then once the show starts, it goes from beginning to end and it's an actor's medium. Yeah? And he takes the show, he feels the audience, he does whatever he wants. If he makes mistakes, he makes mistakes. There's no coming back, there's no retakes. Okay? And it is a linearity of time. So you start from the beginning, you finish at the end. In cinema, I might shoot my death sequence first, just because we happen to be in that location. Then shoot a sequence where I get married. Then come back to a sequence where, you know. Yeah. So, how do I maintain my linearity? Mm-hmm. I don't. The director does. The director says, I want just this.
So, why is this common line that all us at least laymen say that a film actor can also not be a theatre actor? Like, why is there such a huge bifurcation? But is it also because in theatre, I did very little theatre, but I felt like it was so important for you to make sure that the audience is connected with you every time you're on stage, every time it's your dialogue, every time you're just present there, which is something you don't have to do otherwise because there's just the camera and there's nobody there. Is that a major difference that you think that theatre actors have like an upper hand in? That you have to basically just engage the audience at every moment of the entire show that you do?
Of course. Of course you have to engage the audience. I mean, it takes 10 seconds to disengage. The audience, the first 10 seconds are the most crucial ones on stage. If you catch the audience, you have them. Then they're with you. Then they're like putty in your hands, you know. You can do what you like with them. Take them wherever you want on a journey. The journey that you are taking them on, the story that you are telling. In cinema, it's not like that. In cinema, you have to do what the director tells you because you're not seeing his vision. Where is he going to put this scene? Is it going to come first? Is it going to come left? You know, of course, the line.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, he might put this scene as a flashback.
Yeah.
How do you know? Right? He might decide on the editing table that, oh, I think this fits better as a flashback. And this sequence comes before this. It's very easy. So you don't see that. What you do is you concentrate on the emotion of the scene itself. What you're trying to portray. What you're trying to... So you live in the moment. You don't live in the past or in the future.
What is that one thing that will allow you to stay versatile in Bollywood?
I think it's called chutzpah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to have the gumption to do it. Mm-hmm. You have to have the gumption to challenge yourself every day. If you're challenging yourself, and you don't have to be scared. I mean, you know, there are many people who are scared to break out of the chocolate boy or chocolate girl image, right? It's running for them, you know, so why lose a winning hand? You know, if it's working, just let it work. So, they stick with that. But then, there are some actors who try to break out of the mold, try to do this. Alia herself, she's a fantastic person and has worked really hard at her craft, really hard. So, she's not like the usual, you know, floozy, nepotistic kid who comes into the cinema, you know. She is somebody who's worked really hard at it. Yes, maybe she got her breaks because of her family. But after that, nobody gives you a second or third chance. Like you can see many examples in front of you. There are some superstar kids who have reached nowhere. Because if you don't have it in you, you don't have it in you. So there is a factor which is your factor as well. You have to keep challenging yourself, number one. Number two, for me, what has happened is that, yes, the casting directors come with particular roles. But then the choice is always yours. You decide what you want to do. So I've decided my way of thinking is a particular way of thinking. I will do only these kind of roles. If you tell me to do a silly role, I may not do it. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm getting paid humongous amounts of money.
Like you were talking about Aynad, you did a film with her. You had a cameo role. Why is it that you chose to do a cameo or a one scene?
So like I said, you know, you either tempt me with the money or you tempt me with the role. Now, Nehru is somebody I admire tremendously. So, one, there was an occasion to play Nehru. Two, it was a Bhansali film. You know. Three, the way it was presented to me, it was the crux of the film. It was the finale of the film. It was, you know, where the film is ending. The whole film is about her trying to go meet the Prime Minister, and she finally manages to meet him and explain her point of view to him. And then she walks away.
Yeah.
So the film actually ended when she walked out of the room. So they added the procession and all. Fair enough, that's the director's prerogative. But that's the whole crux of the film. So I did that role because A, it was the climax of the film. B, it was a very, very, very powerful sequence, very powerful scene. Very rarely does one get to do such powerful scenes. And also the scene on which the whole film is revolving, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sanjay Leela Bhansali did tell me, he says, aapi ko karna hai role.
No. So what's the prep that goes behind when you're representing such a strong personality from history itself? So what is the prep that goes inside you? Because it's not a small role. It's not like you can just turn up on the set. What did you have to do?
So like I said, I'm a great admirer of Nehru. I've always been. His policies, his thoughts, his vision for India. Always been a huge admirer. So I've read him. I've read about him. I know about him. His discovery of India was the basis of many of our contemporaries. We sort of grew up with that. You must have seen a series which Shyam Babu did called Bharat Ek Khoj. It's a fantastic series. Launched the careers of many an actor, and many a director in Bombay. The director himself asked me to study a little more about the mannerisms, about some things, and just a little bit, not too much, not to copy, but just to make it authentic. And then there were whole nights we sat, we didn't shoot, we were just discussing. Three nights in a row we sat, just rewriting the script, discussing, getting the line straight, getting this correct, getting that correct. We didn't shoot. Three full days of shoot we spent like that. We were shooting nights. It was during COVID times. And we just sat, the whole unit waited. And we just sat and discussed each line, each sentence, each. Of course, he's a perfectionist. So, just wanted everything to be right and the emotion to be the tightest and the most sort of, how should I put it? As hard-hitting as possible. Which is, I think, we achieved.
Yeah, I also want to understand that in Bollywood, I think we have, or as audiences for Bollywood, we've already made certain perceptions of everybody as stars, superstars. And you work with like Alia Bhatt and Shah Rukh Khan at their prime, right? So how is it that when you're working with them, you like don't end up losing your identity and they don't end up overpowering you? Like how do you manage to do that?
Well, you have your own personality. You're playing a role, right? Let me give you an example. The popular perception in, let's say, in even in the sort of preconceived notion that people have is that if he's a hero, he has to be very strong. Okay? He has to be. If you're playing a Ram, you have to be very strong. Ram cannot be strong unless there is a very strong Ravan ahead of him. Even stronger. You know? So you have to have that balance. So if you don't have a very strong villain, the hero doesn't come out as very strong. Therefore, in order to make that person well, you also have to be strong. So in order for Shah Rukh's character to come out brilliantly in Swadesh, I also have to be equally convincing. That's how it works. It's not about Shah Rukh Khan or it's about me or anything. He's just another actor. I mean, yeah. Not just another actor. He's a fantastic superstar. Yeah. But at that moment in time, there are two actors on stage, in front of camera. And that's about it. And you're playing your roles.
And what was it like working almost 20 years ago to now? Like, what is the difference that you see, like in Made in Heaven and in Swadesh? Like, how was it different working on set?
See, I've always believed that you don't decide for the audience. You do what you have to do. Let the audience decide. You know, I have to tell a story, I tell my story. I have to say it in a particular manner, I do it in a particular manner. So if I'm working with a director, he's telling his story. He's not purposely building a story which he thinks the people will like. He's not doing that.
Yeah.
If you do that, you'll have 10,000 perceptions and 10,000 different ideas. You can't do that. You have to stick with your ideas and then present them to the public. Be convinced about them. Then the public will like you or not like you. But you have to be convinced about your idea. So, in that sense, the audience doesn't change. We have become slightly more professional on sets. You know, people do. Now we get printed, fully bound scripts before we start. We have all the dialogues. We have ADs coming to us and sort of, you know, helping us get along, change, give us the sides, read the lines, do everything. So there is a lot of professionalism that's come in. People are punctual. The best part of cinema is that, you know, if you're not on time,
yeah,
you're just, like I said, you're just another 56th element among the other elements in the structure of things.
Yeah.
And if you're not there on time, then you're not respecting the other people.
And why is it that Bollywood has not seen the success that it should post-COVID? It is kind of on the downside. The graph is falling down. Why is that so?
So, you know, we are a nation of storytellers in India. All the stories that you can think of across the globe originated in India. And I'm not lying. You can go to all the folk tales that you can think of.
Yeah.
How many folk tales can you think of? Have you heard of Hans Christian Andersen?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Aesop?
Yes.
And who else have you heard of? Any French writers?
No.
No French?
My French is not so good.
None.
You know any French writers?
French? You don't know any folk tales?
Okay. La Fontaine's fables. Well known across the globe before even Hans Christian Andersen. I mean, more than Hans Christian Andersen or Aesop. So they all started from the Jataka, Jatak Kathai, which were actually Buddha's tales. And from the Jatak Kathai were formed what is known as the Panchatantra in the first century. From the Panchatantra were folk tales that were stolen by an Egyptian slave on board of a European ship called Aesop, who took them to Egypt and to Europe. And then they came to Arabian Nights, which is Khalil and Dimna and Arabian Nights. From Arabian Nights, they went to Hans Christian Andersen and they went to La Fontaine. And La Fontaine, in his second volume, even states that it will not be without. He basically acknowledges the contribution of the Indian sage Pilpai, which is Pilpai is a bastardization of the word Vidyapati.
Mm-hmm.
Vidyapati was the writer of, he was known as Vidyapati, like Senapati and all that.
Yeah.
Vidyapati was the one who wrote the Panchatantra. So all the folk tales come from India. So we are a nation of storytellers. Now when you stop telling stories, when you start making a project about it being a PowerPoint presentation and an Excel sheet which is showing you an ROI, where is the story?
But there are no ROIs either when more left.
It's very simple. Tell a good story, you'll get an ROI. You don't know how to tell stories, then what are you in the business for? Don't be in the business.
But this is a very tricky business as well. This is a business where your face, your presence across the audience, now especially with social media, it becomes very important for you to be relevant in order for you to get work. But you are not very active on social media. And you have a certain way of living. You have your certain choices which you're very pro about and you don't move from that. Do you think that has affected your work in any way?
So, you see, people who get work from social media are restricted there only. You know? I mean, if you need a social media to know who I am as an actor, then what are you as a director? You want to know how many likes I have to choose me as an actor? Then,
you know.
But it's a world like that, right? That they'd want to choose because the amount of likes you get will be the amount of money that you bring in because that's the amount of audience that you have. At least that's how the world is functioning now, right? And then even like the choices, like you choose not to do ads, no matter how much money they give you. Like you have a certain notion and you have a certain, you have a set of morals that you don't wish to compromise on.
Yes.
And
so I don't do any fairness creams because I don't believe in that. I don't believe in duping the public. I don't do clothing ads because I worked with weavers and I wear khadi. So I don't do any suiting, shirting ads. I refused a very, 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 very big contract 25 years ago, which went to another friend of mine. But I didn't do that. I could have bought 6 flats in Bombay at that time, but didn't do it.
Because I was working with khadi.
Do you regret it?
First off, not one bit. Not one bit.
Do you think that's the reason that you've not been very commercial, like in the commercial films, in the big budget films with the big production house?
I've done the biggest budget films in the world. I've worked with the 4-time Oscar winners. I've worked with the greatest directors. I've worked with probably the most exquisite of musicians and singers and dancers. I've worked with everybody. So who have I not worked with?
So it's a myth. It's basically a myth that you have to like follow this line in order to be visible in Bollywood.
You have to do what you have to do. You have to be yourself. You can't be what you want me to be. I mean, if you want me to be what you want me to be, then pay me for it. Yeah. I'd be very happy to do it.
Would you do something like, would you do like a Raymond ad for like a decent amount of money?
The Raymond is what I refused. I was a Raymond man. It was a 3-year contract with lots of money.
Yeah, so it's not always about the money, I guess. Yeah.
But I don't wear brands either.
Yeah.
So if I wear a brand, then I better get paid for it. Otherwise, I don't like brands. You know, somebody saying I've got this bag and I've got that watch and everything. Yeah. Nothing of that sort.
Okay, so from today, what are some things that you feel that the society needs to watch? And what are some tones that you would like to give, present to the audience as a director, producer or an actor? And what are some of your body of work that we can know about because we're excited?
So I'm working on two musicals, live shows, which will be presented. I did one of the world's biggest live shows, India's biggest live show. I was a principal lead actor for 10 years across the globe. Did about 1,500 shows all over the world. So I really feel that the genre, which is called a musical, was invented in India. The Americans turned it into an art form. That's a different matter. But they elevated it to an art form. But the genre of musical was invented in India. Every state of India has its own musical theater. You call it Tamasha in Maharashtra, you call it Jatra in Bengal, you call it Nautanki in UP, you call it Therukuthu in Tamil Nadu. Every single state has its own musical theatre where the actor is a singer, a dancer, a puppeteer, a musician, a lyricist, a poet, an actor, and a compere, and at the same time an audience. So he's a sutradhar, he's anything, he can be anything. So I've always enjoyed musicals, and I think that you talked to me about COVID and said, why is Bollywood not working or films are not working with the COVID? Because you have a 10 second, I told you 10 seconds in the beginning. If you don't capture people in 10 seconds, you don't have them. Now people have learned. They've got 5,000 channels to choose from, 5,000 OTTs to choose from. In the OTT, 25,000 films to choose from. So if you don't engage with somebody, you've lost it. In fact, a very famous director also once said that my film does not end when the audience steps out of the auditorium. My film begins in their minds. So unless the film begins in their minds when they step out of the auditorium, I've not made a film. If it ends in the auditorium, there's no film. This is what happens. So people are flipping all the time. And I really feel that the time has come when we're going to be doing more live shows than anything else.
And now I just want to know, give me a couple of actors and movies that's in the past 5-6 years that you feel have really done Hollywood, Bollywood proud from your outside.
I haven't seen any. There have been some very nice movies. Let me just quickly finish and we'll terminate with this, with Bollywood. So Bollywood is quite a strange sobriquet for an industry which sort of encompasses, you know, people from all walks of life, from all parts of the country. So it's not just Bollywood comes from Bombay and Hollywood, you know. So to put them together to make it Bollywood, it's not just about Bollywood. There's art house cinema. There's you know, there's the documentary filmmaking. There's some very nice hard hitting movies which are made as well. Then there are some absolutely commercial trashy movies being made, and money is being wasted. Then there's some quite interesting storytelling techniques being used. So to call it Bollywood is I think a terrible way to put it. I think it's the Bombay film industry, if you can put it like that, because the Indian film industry is very huge. The Tamil industry is different. The Malayali industry is different. Telugu industry, let's not even talk about it, because they're right over there, you know. The Bengali industry. So there are lots of paths to it, but I think some great cinema is being produced by Marathi films in Marathi. Great cinema. Great cinema comes from Kerala, of course. Bengal hasn't seen much in the last few years, but Bengal used to produce some of the best films. But I think this is where the powerhouse cinema lies now. The powerhouse storytelling comes from these three places. I'm talking about art house cinema. Commercial successes from Tamil Nadu and Kerala and Andhra Pradesh, you can see. And Telangana, of course.
Coming to an end, I always ask my guests one question. What is the one advice you want to give anybody who wants to go beyond the borders?
Believe in yourself and hang in there. Hang in there. If you can take it, you can make it.
Thank you so much, Rahul. It was a pleasure. I hope you had fun.
Yes, great. Thank you. Thank you, Akriti.
Thank you so much for staying until the end. To help us continue these conversations, please subscribe on YouTube and like and follow on Instagram and Spotify.